Scripture comes to us from 2 Corinthians. And just a reminder of context and such, Corinthians was one of those letters Paul writes to a congregation that he'd helped come alongside. And sometimes it's advice, sometimes it's warning, sometimes it's challenge, correction. 2 Corinthians particularly is a letter where Paul seems to have to sort of defend himself and help others understand why they might want to listen to him as somebody who preaches the gospel and is bringing good news. So we pick it up in chapter 4. Paul writes this. We have this treasure, meaning the good news, what Jesus is all about. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. He goes on a little later. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious God, these clay jars come before you today, grateful for the treasure you have placed in us. Grateful for the work you've done in Christ and the power that comes to us in the Holy Spirit. May your Spirit guide and move us and help us to hear and trust in your presence in these moments, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 20 years ago, a film came out. The title was Unbreakable. It was a movie poster. Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson are the main characters. The film starts with a horrible train wreck. Everyone perishes except Bruce Willis's character. His name is David. Later on, he comes to meet Samuel Jackson's character, named Elijah. Now, I don't know if the writers decided to give them biblical names or not, but it's telling. We have David and Elijah encountering one another. And the thing is about the story, David went through this horrible train wreck, and he's the only one who survives, and in fact survives without a scratch. Nothing broken, nothing bruised. And as he comes to meet and get to know Elijah, he begins to understand that he is unbreakable. He can't be harmed. In fact, as he thinks over his whole life, he's never been sick, never torn a muscle, strained anything. He is unbreakable. And Elijah, the Samuel L. Jackson character, is particularly intrigued because he suffers from a disorder where his bones are very brittle. So instead of being unbreakable, he sort of thinks of himself as Mr. Glass. We have this contrast of the unbreakable one and the one who might shatter at any moment. Now, of course, it's a fantasy, it's a fiction. There is nobody in our world who is unbreakable. There are many of us who might feel like Mr. Glass, beaten, battered, bruised, broken, just wondering when the next affliction might come. And when it does, when we are broken or bruised or battered, it brings up those age-old questions. Why me, right? What's behind all this? What do I do about it? Seems to me that's really what Paul's up to in 2 Corinthians. He's writing as one who has been battered and bruised and beaten, who has experienced a myriad of hardships and sufferings through his life. He might feel like Mr. Glass as well. And he's writing to the church in Corinth because they're not so sure they should pay attention to Paul. See, they have this distorted idea of suffering. To them, anyone going through suffering and hardship, anyone who is battered and beaten and bruised, has brought that upon themselves by their sin. That was sort of the ancient mindset, was if you do something wrong, God punishes you. If there's sin in your life, then obviously there will be judgment, and that judgment comes out in hardship. That was an ancient mindset, and maybe there's some who still sort of hold on to that idea this day, but Paul is trying to share a different perspective about hardship, a different way of understanding that, in fact, the trials that we go through are not about God's judgment. It's not the equation sin equals hardship. The equation is more about hardship is where God is most evident, where God shows up in powerful ways. And so he has this litany of phrases. He says, oh, we are afflicted, but not crushed. You might say in popular terms today, Paul was stressed out. Anybody feel stressed out lately? Yeah, can you identify? We feel afflicted sometimes, right? But in the midst of Paul's stress and affliction, he says, but we didn't give in, we didn't collapse, we were not crushed. He says, we were perplexed, but not in despair. Seems there's confusion and bewilderment for Paul. Have you ever been in that place? Maybe lately, as you've looked at the weather report, and then you've looked outside, and you got ready for a sunny day, and then you found thunder showers all day long, right? We're perplexed and bewildered sometimes, wondering what is going on in our world. Absolutely. Paul was too. He says, I was perplexed, but not in despair, not giving up. He says, we were persecuted, but not forsaken. In fact, Paul knew a lot about persecution, as he first was the persecutor, the one who came and, well, began to round up the early Christians and take them to task for their heresy and the ways they talked about God and Jesus. And then, of course, he had his major conversion experience, and then he became one who was persecuted. And so he understood well being persecuted, feeling like someone's always out to get you. Anybody have that kind of season of life where you feel like everybody is plotting against you? Maybe at school, at work, on the roadways, who knows? Paul says we're persecuted but not forsaken. God didn't give up on us in all that persecution. This wasn't judgment, no. It says, we were struck down, but not destroyed. Have you felt struck down in life? Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, socially, Maybe social media has hurt you in some way, and you felt struck down. And Paul says, but I was not destroyed. See, Paul knew something in the midst of hardship. He had something within him that he was trying to help the Corinthians and you and I understand. We might go through the trials and be battered and bruised and beaten, but that doesn't mean God has abandoned us. In fact, that's actually where God shows up most visibly. That's where the evidence of God's presence seems most obvious, I think. I've seen it time and again in my own life and in the lives of others who share their stories. We think those moments of trial and hardship seem God-forsaken, but the more we pay attention, the more we realize, no, that's where God's actually most real. The Corinthian church seemed to not get that. They seemed to think, well, all these bad things must have happened to Paul because he was against God somehow, that he was a phony, false. Paul's trying to steer them back into truth, help them understand hardship, trials, suffering. This isn't judgment, no. This is just the ways we live in our broken world. How many of you this past year would say, I've gone through some trials, some hardship, some suffering? Just, you know, a few? Yeah, most of us. And let's not equate that somehow showing up because God is unhappy with us. That's not what God does. The hardships come because, of course, there's a lot of brokenness in this world, in our own lives and the lives of others around us, so we encounter the struggles. Our graduates may have experienced some of those hardships just getting through high school and now look ahead and wonder, what will be in store for me? Well, this morning, I want to play a little bit with this image of the clay pot. That's how Paul starts our passage. We have this treasure in clay jars, earthen vessels. Yeah, don't go there yet. Thank you. And it seems to me, in the Christian church in the modern age, we sometimes struggle to show our humanness to one another. I don't know why it is. I'm not sure. Maybe there's some fear that if we share our sufferings and our hardships with one another, that somehow we will seem weak or like a failure or something. And so I think often we take our little clay pots and we sort of shine them up and we paint them over and we make them look as pretty as possible, and then we show up and we see one another and we worship together and we say, how are you doing? And we say, great. Even though there's all sorts of hardship and trial going on in our life. Sometimes we just don't share it. Sometimes I think we just want to be the shiny pots, the pretty pots, and say all is well. That somehow if we admitted we were broken, if we admitted there were cracks in our life, that somehow that would make us less. But that's not true. Because, of course, the cracks in our lives, the brokenness, the hardships, the trials, the sufferings we've gone through actually make us more. There's a Japanese art form called kintsugi. Anybody familiar with this? One, two, three, nice. Four, five, awesome. Kintsugi, this is intriguing. This started centuries ago. This is an art form where they take broken pots, and rather than discarding them because they are broken, they take a lacquer, a glue of sorts, mixed with sometimes gold dust or platinum or silver, and then they put them back together. And here are some images of some of the work of kintsugi. They take what was broken and put it back together and create something unique and beautiful and distinct. Aren't those amazing? Because the philosophy behind kintsugi is, I think, coming out of the reality of who God is. That God doesn't discard broken pots. God doesn't do away with you and I as we go through our trials and our sufferings. Instead, God helps to put us back together and uses the power and the Spirit to fill in the cracks and, in fact, to make us more beautiful and more powerful than we were before. Kintsugi, as it's done well and right, actually creates a stronger object. The lacquer, the glue, the gold, all that put as it's put together, it actually creates a stronger pot. And I want to say that's a wonderful analogy for what God does in our lives. He takes the brokenness. He doesn't cause the brokenness, the hardship, the trials. But he takes all of that and helps to mend us, put us back together. And as he does, we become stronger, more resilient. Because of the hand of God in our lives, and more beautiful, really, just like each one of those pots, more distinct and wonderful. I think that's what Paul was trying to help the Corinthians understand. Help us understand that rather than say, I wish none of that had ever happened, it's all hard and we don't want trials and hardships, but they have a way of shaping us and forming us, and God helps to make us stronger because of them. Brian McLaren, in our book we're reading as our companion text, he puts it this way. He says, hardships make us bitter or better. They lead us to break down or break through. Really, hardships teach us to live in dependence upon God and interdependence with others. Because what Paul was doing as he shared his own litany of struggles and hardships was helping the people understand where he was coming from, and that when we do that, when we open ourselves up to others, when we share our struggles, it actually makes us more human and more accessible than when we just polish the pot and say there's no problem, there's no struggle here. I don't know if you caught it in the news this week. Nick Foles, an NFL quarterback, and his wife had a miscarriage. And they decided to share about that hardship in their life. And I know, looking out here, how many of you have gone through a miscarriage too? The statistics are big. And so often we don't share that kind of struggle and trial. And I'm not sure why. Maybe we don't want to impose on others to feel our pain. Maybe we're worried how people react. But what we saw on social media as Nick and Tori Foles shared about that hardship was people coming to their aid, sharing their stories and their support, and binding them up. See, that's a part of what God does. When we share our struggles and our hardships, he helps others come alongside to mend, to heal. There was a story years ago about a young girl. Her name was Bethany Hamilton. Some of you may remember her story. She was an up-and-coming young surfer star. And then she was attacked by a shark and lost her arm. It's many years later now. She has a child, two now. Not too long ago, she did a little video piece. It was sort of like a letter to her son, who was just a little guy, talking about her own adversity and challenge, and what do we do with that? And I think it's what Paul's telling us as well. So I wanted you to catch it this morning. Hear what Bethany has to share.
Tobias, life with you is so, so special to me. I cherish every moment with you and look forward to seeing the man you will become. I feel so blessed to be your mom and see it as a joy to share the valuable things I have learned along my journey. Growing up, I had a really adventurous life, just like the life your dad and I are showing you. My parents always had us outside, adventuring, camping, and tons of time at the beach. This life led me to chase my passion of surfing. When I lost my arm, my world was turned upside down. I want you to know that in the midst of all the chaos, there was much to be gained. I was afraid that the world I had known had been taken away from me. I couldn't imagine a life without surfing, and the reality of doing life with one arm was overwhelming. The future felt daunting. But I trusted that God had a plan for my future, even if I felt scared and unsure about what my life was going to be. My mindset went from, I don't think I can do this, to, how am I going to figure this out and overcome it? And I knew the ocean was where I was meant to be. A month after losing my arm, I was back in the water surfing. I had to work hard to learn how to do everything differently. But giving up was not an option. I didn't have the pressure of living up to the expectations that the world can put on us. I had to have the courage to surf those easy waves in the shallow waters, and then work my way up to the real surf. I hope you realize that we can't let setbacks stop us from doing what we love to do, even being the best person we can be for our family and friends. If I could go back and change the day I lost my arm, I wouldn't change any of it. I thank God for all the beauty and good that has come out of it. I believe His plan is better than ours. And sometimes we have to face hard times to become stronger and learn more about life. Hold on to your faith, family, and friends, and the willingness to take the next step and get back on your board and persevere through the difficult times, and always be thankful for the epic rides in life. I'll love you always, Mom.
Another person who understood trials and suffering, and yet said, you know what? God has done so much out of that, has helped to mend and heal and lead her forward into life in ways she never imagined. I hope you can hear that for yourself today, especially if you're in the midst of one of those trials, especially for our seniors today as you head into a season of life. And you don't know what's in store, but know that God goes with you into that season. Paul says it this way, so we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. May you experience the renewal of Christ day by day. Gracious God, we know suffering and hardship indeed in so many different ways in our lives. And we are grateful, Lord, that you're not the one who causes it, but you are the one who comes alongside us in the midst of it. You are the power that helps us rise up once again. You are the one who heals and mends and creates the most beautiful of clay pots. Lord, walk with us in these days to come. Indeed, may we be renewed day by day by your grace, your mercy, and your love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.